Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Ches, Avodah Zarah 38. In the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey Yom Beis, our Mishnah had said these are the things that we're not allowed to eat from an idolater, and that refers to their milk, their bread, their oil. And then our Mishnah said, Vahashlokos, and the Shlokos refers to things that are cooked by an idolater, that a Jew is prohibited to eat. And Rashi, and on his commentary to 35b, writes that the reason is for all these things, Mishum Chasnus, that we're worried that if you're going to eat the food that's cooked by an idolater, the next thing we know is that you're going to intermarry with the idolater, and therefore that is prohibited. However, on the top of 38a, Rashi cites a different reason there. The Gemara on Ardaf Yomi writes that the prohibition of eating the food that is cooked by an idolater is a rabbinic prohibition. It is Midrabanan. And Rashi writes, the reason for this rabbinic prohibition is Shaloyah Yisrael Ragil Etzlo B'machal V'mishteh, that a Jew should not be accustomed to dining with the idolater, V'yachilenu Davar Tamei, that the idolater will come to serve the Jew something that's not kosher. And so therefore the reason is not because we're concerned that it's going to lead to intermarriage with the idolater, but the reason is because it's going to cause the Jew to eat something that is not kosher. Then the Gemara goes on to define what is within the parameters of this prohibition of eating food that is cooked by an idolater. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Kol hanechal kamo shochai ein bo mishum bishui ovdei kochavim. That within this parameter, one definition is that if a food can be eaten raw, it is not included within this prohibition of the food that is cooked by an idolater. Actually, I did not state that precisely. I said a food that can be eaten raw, but the Meiri points out that that's not sufficient. Just the fact that it technically can be eaten raw doesn't mean it falls away from the prohibition of bishul akum, of food that is cooked by an idolater and therefore prohibited, because it's not enough to say that it can be eaten raw. It has to actually be eaten raw. That is what's required. It needs to be eaten raw by a sufficient number of people. It doesn't need to be the majority of the people, the Ritva points out, but there needs to be a significant mass of people that eat this food raw in order for it to be considered permitted and not within the prohibition of bishul akum. That is the first concept. But there in Surah, in the Yeshiva in Surah, they learned it differently. There they said that was not sufficient. That was the way we learned it in Surah. But comes along the Yeshiva of Pumpadisa, and they were Masnuhachi. They gave a different theory. Their theory was, citing Rav, Kol she'enu nechal shulchan melachim l'afis bo es apas ein bo mishum bishulei ovdei kochavim, and that anything that was not able or normal to go upon the table of a king in order to dip the bread into that food, that would not be within the prohibition of bishul akum. Meaning to say, bishul akum needs to be something that is included within the type of food that's normally going upon the table of a king. And so therefore, if it was a type of food that didn't normally go on the table of a king, then we don't have to be concerned about it. What says the Gemara Mai Benaya? What's the distinction between these two reasons? One reason that they gave in Surah was that it excludes foods that could be eaten raw, and the reason of Pumpadisa was that it excludes foods that were not typical to go on the table of a king, and that bread was not typically dipped into. Those cultures were cultures that were normally bread cultures, and so the bread had to be dipped in something. So it says the Gemara, the distinction between them is about dogim ketanim, small fish, ardi, which are types of mushrooms, and daisy, which is like a type of porridge of wheat or barley that was cut up and then cooked. So all of these foods are foods that could be eaten raw, and so therefore, according to the first approach of Surah, that under those circumstances, since they can be eaten raw, since these are foods which cannot be eaten raw, the fish and the mushrooms and the porridge, in those days they were not eaten raw, and so therefore they are going to be considered within the prohibition of bishul akum. However, according to the second approach, the approach of Pumpadisa, since these are foods which do not normally go up on the table of the king, then therefore they are going to be considered to be not under the prohibition of bishul akum. So this is the basic explanation. And so Rashi writes that the reason why that according to the approach of Surah, that if it's Roy, it doesn't apply, is because the concept is that we don't have to be concerned about intermarriage under those circumstances, because this is not the type of food that will cause people to come together. And the Ron says that that's not the only explanation, that the basic point is, even according to the other approach, that we're, since these are foods that we don't typically go and eat at other people's homes, it's not going to be something which falls under the prohibition of the concern that you're going to come and eat non-kosher food accidentally. So this is the basic concept, and there's a lot of discussion, obviously, amongst the poskim, what will exactly fit into this category. One of the things that's pointed out is that the Shevet HaLevi was asked whether this will apply in modern circumstances to like a microwave, for example. And so he says, yes, it does apply to a microwave, because that's still cooking the food. However, what it doesn't apply to are those areas where the food is not cooked, but they're prepared, like smoked or pickled or salted. All these types of foods are not considered to be cooking them. And so therefore, there's no prohibition of Bishul Akum as it relates to those types of foods, even though it does relate to microwave, but it doesn't relate to those types of foods. There is permitted to eat something that is pickled, salted, or cooked by an idolater. Not cooked, but pickled, salted, or smoked by an idolater.